Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we shall read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, Text 36, which explains the purpose for the descent of Lord Krishna. Please repeat. Anugrahaya Bhaktanam,
Anugrahaya Bhaktanam,
Manusham Deham Astita,
Manusham Deham Astita,
Bhajate Tadrishya Krida,
Bhajate Tadrishya Krida,
Yashudva Tatparo Bhavet,
Yashudva Tatparo Bhavet.
Translation. When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about them to become dedicated to him. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So here, Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains the purpose of the Lord's descent, specifically in the form of Krishna. The Lord appears in many forms, but the form of Krishna is especially important because it is human-like. And therefore, human beings who hear about the human-like pastimes of Krishna can easily become attracted to him. And thus inspired to dedicate their lives to his service. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the thoughts of Lord Krishna before he appeared. Lord Krishna thought, I have appeared in so many different forms, and in my various forms, devotees worship me with awe and reverence. Especially devotees worship the form of Vishnu or Lakshmi Narayan with great awe and reverence, with great appreciation for the Lord's grandeur and opulence. But Krishna thought, I have not yet descended in such a way as to inspire them to serve me without awe and reverence. So I shall come as Krishna in a human-like form. and display such pastimes as will inspire them to serve me with complete intimacy, an intimacy that is only possible when one forgets the Lord's grandeur and the Lord's opulences. Krishna thought, I will descend and I will play with my cowherd boyfriends. We will engage in sports. And when the other party defeats me in the sport or game, I will carry the winner on my shoulders as a reward for his victory. Similarly, I shall engage in pastimes with my parents, Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamai, such that when Yashodamai shows the stick to punish me, I will become very much afraid. And I will also engage in pastimes with my beloveds, such that when they show their jealous anger towards me, I will regret my misbehavior and appeal to them to give up their anger towards me. And thus I will engage in such intimate relationships with my confidential devotees that people will be attracted to give up their material attachments and dedicate themselves exclusively to my service. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada has paraphrased the purport to the verse here, or the series of verses in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Lord's descent as Krishna. And the idea is that everyone in the material world wants love. Everyone in the material world wants some loving relationship that will please him and satisfy him or her. But whatever relationship we have in the material world is bound to end, because the relationship exists as long as the bodies exist. And as soon as the body ceases to exist, which is bound to happen, the relationship will be finished. And apart from the fact that the relationships based on the body are temporary, they're also filled with many other complexities. So Srila Prabhupada says that if you want a master to serve, then Krishna is ready. He'll become your perfect master, and your relationship with him will never end, and you'll never be disappointed. Similarly, if you're looking for a relationship with a friend, Krishna will become your best friend. Here in the material world, we have friends, but sometimes our friends misunderstand us. Sometimes our friends disappoint us. But Krishna will always understand us perfectly, and he will never fail us in any circumstance. in the material world, we may want to have a child, to have a relationship with a child. And generally, the children are very docile and charming and enchanting when they are young. But when they grow older, they start to manifest their own desires, which may be different from their parents' desires or expectations. And their bodies go through changes, their minds go through changes. And in the end, they may turn out very different from what the parents had hoped and expected. Sometimes they leave home. I mean, I don't expect what I'm saying to happen in the context of any of the families here. But sometimes the children leave home and they neglect the parents, or they may actually resent the parents for one reason or another and rebel against them. And sometimes they die also. But Krishna will never die, and he'll be the perfect child. He'll be the perfect child. And similarly, someone may want a relationship with a lover. And we all know how many complications there are in the material world in relationships with lovers or between husbands and wives. But Krishna will be your perfect lover, and he will never disappoint you. He will never leave you. He will never die. So by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna with his intimate relationships in Vrindavan, we will be attracted. We'll be attracted. Yes, I want to serve Krishna like Raktak and Patrak, or I want to be a friend of Krishna's like Subal, or I want to be a parent of Krishna, like Nanda and Yashoda, or the other elderly gopas and gopis. Or I want to be a beloved of Krishna, like Srimati Radharani and her girlfriends and her maidservants. So by coming attracted to Krishna in his human-like pastimes, in his most intimate relationships with his most exalted devotees, we can become attracted. And when we become attracted to Krishna in those pastimes and in those relationships, we want to develop a similar relationship with him. And thus we want to dedicate our hearts and souls to his service. So this is the specific purpose of the special incarnation of Krishna in the human-like form. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about the purposes for his descent. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there is a decrease in religiousness and an increase in irreligiousness, dharma samstap anarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. At that time I descend to reestablish the principles of religion. And paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam. To deliver the devotees and to punish the miscreants, I descend. But Krishna can fulfill the purposes mentioned here in the two verses quoted from Bhagavad Gita in other forms as well. For example, when he descends as Lord Nrisimhadev, he fulfills the same function. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarthaya. And similarly, when he descends in the form of Ramachandra, he also fulfills the same functions. But only when he descends in the human-like form of Krishna does he manifest the special pastimes that he enjoys with his devotees in Vrindavan, the human-like pastimes. And it is specifically the human-like pastimes that can attract the conditioned souls to dedicate themselves to him. And thus, by displaying his pastimes, his Narlila, his human-like pastimes, he creates a subject matter for us to hear. And by hearing about his human-like pastimes in Vrindavan, our hearts become purified, and we become attracted to him and want to dedicate our lives to his service, knowing that our heart's desires can only be fully satisfied in relation to him. So Krishna Janmashtami is a most auspicious occasion because Krishna appeared on Janmashtami. Of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the appearance of Lord Krishna in the prison house of Kamsa as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He appeared in his four-armed form as Vishnu. And when Vasudeva and Devaki feared for his safety because of Kamsa's policy of killing the children of Vasudeva and Devaki, they requested him to conceal his four-handed form as Narayan and assume the form of a human baby. And then by the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the prison guards fell asleep and the shackles that were binding Vasudeva released him. The doors opened and he was able to carry the baby Krishna across the river Yamuna to Gokul. And exchange the baby boy, Krishna, for the baby daughter of Yashodamai. And thus Krishna grew up in Vraj. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has analyzed the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully. And he has suggested that Yashoda actually gave birth to twins, one a son and one a daughter. And the son was the original form of Krishna, and the daughter was Yogamaya. So when Vasudev carried baby Krishna from Mathura to Gokul, the The Vasudev Krishna that appeared in Mathura was absorbed into the original Krishna of Vrindavan. And the twin sister, Yogamaya, was taken by Vasudev back to Mathura. So I will not discuss in detail the different verses that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur cites in support of his thesis that Yasodamai had a twin son and daughter, and that Krishna was born of Yasoda in Gokul at the same time that Vasudev Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa to Vasudev and Devaki. But there are various verses, even verses that we may be familiar with, that support Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's thesis. Maybe I'll just mention one, that when Kamsa, because Kamsa was living in fear of the eighth son of Devaki, because he heard the voice from the sky that said that he will be killed by the eighth son of Devaki. So when he heard that Devaki had given birth for the eighth time, he went to take the baby, to dash the baby against the rock, as he had killed the other children, or at least the first six. And when he did so, the girl flew up in the sky, and she manifest her divine form, and she chastised Kamsa that you're trying to kill me, but you do not know that the person who is destined to kill you has already taken birth somewhere else. Not that he took birth there, but he took birth somewhere else. So similarly, there are other verses that combine together to support the idea that the original Krishna did take birth of Nanda and Yashoda in Vraj. But of course, he doesn't take birth as an ordinary human child takes birth, by the combination of the mother and father, and you know, the father injects the seed into the womb of the mother, and so on. Actually, Krishna is never born. He always exists eternally. Like the sun. You could say the sun always exists, but the sun rises at a certain time, which we call sunrise. So from our point of view, we see that the sun is rising. But from the point of view of the sun, there's no rising or setting. The sun is always there. So in the same way, Krishna is always there, but he appears before our vision as the son of Vasudev and Devaki, or in his original form as the son of Nanda and Yashoda, and thus he displays his human-like pastimes as we discussed. So we should never misunderstand and think that Krishna is an ordinary human being with a physical body made of flesh and blood, or that he was born by the biological process of conception, where the seed, you know, fertilizes the egg, and not at all. But he appears. Just like the sun appears over the horizon at the time of sunrise, So similarly, the Bhagavatam describes Krishna appeared from Devaki as the sun appears over the horizon. So we pray that Krishna will attract us by his pastimes. Although Krishna and his pastimes both are all attractive, but because our minds and our senses are contaminated, we're not spontaneously attracted to him. But still, we have faith that by the process of hearing the pastimes of Krishna and chanting the holy name of Krishna, our mind and senses will be purified so that eventually we can be spontaneously attracted to him and his pastimes with his devotees in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Earlier on, I was speaking to Kandava Manjari, and you happened to mention about the time where Krishna appeared, something to do with midnight. I was just trying to confirm whether that's correct, or if that ties in with the fact that throughout the world we observe certain ceremonies at midnight on Krishna Ashtami. So the ceremony that we observe, like Aarti and things like that at midnight, does that have to do with when Krishna appeared?
Well, I've heard that he appeared at something like 20 minutes after midnight, and therefore we receive him by offering Aarti at midnight. I think in Juhu, when we were being very particular, anyway, sometimes devotees actually do the Aarti at like 20 after midnight, but generally they do the Aarti at midnight. The earth planet is very special because Krishna comes here in his original form of Krishna and displays his pastimes to attract us. And his pastimes here most closely resemble our activities here. Although the forms of the demigods are also human-like, but because of their exalted positions on the higher planets, they don't have the same routines that we have here. And therefore, Krishna's pastimes do resemble our activities more than the activities of the demigods. Because we plow fields, we keep cows, we take them to pasture, we milk them, we churn butter, which the demigods don't have to do. So it is our good fortune that we've taken birth as human beings on earth. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says that the demigods actually aspire to take birth on earth because of the special facility we have here for worshiping Krishna, especially through the Sankirtan movement of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Or as Srila Prabhupada paraphrased the statement of the Bhagavatam, the demigods are standing in queue to take birth in ISKCON. We might have one or two in the room with us right now. But anyway, what can we say? Again, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given a nice example how we, who are so fallen, you know, can be given such mercy, specifically through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because even though Krishna appeared and manifested his human-like pastimes, it wasn't really until Lord Chaitanya that devotees appreciated fully the different types of relationships they could have with Krishna. So, and especially the conjugal relationship, or Madhurya Rasa, especially Parakya Rasa. So, how could we, who are so fallen, especially in the age of Kali, be given such a wonderful gift, or at least opportunity? So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur compares Lord Chaitanya to a king. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was intoxicated with love for Krishna. He says a king may become intoxicated and go into his treasure house and take out his most valuable jewels and then go on the street and just give them away, you know, to the most common people on the street, even the lowest beggars. But because he's the king and the jewels are his property, he can do with them what he wants. Nobody can say, you can't give these jewels to the beggars. So Lord Chaitanya, being intoxicated with love of Godhead, is distributing his most valuable jewels of Krishna Prem to whoever he wants, regardless of their station in life. But still, we have to take it. Primary process is hearing, so we shouldn't obstruct our hearing because of our efforts to visualize a picture of Krishna. But if our senses and minds are engaged in Krishna, looking at the deity of Krishna, or looking at pictures of Krishna, hearing the pastimes of Krishna, and so on, then when we do hear the holy names, then if we're fortunate enough, we will naturally, you know, see the image of Krishna and envision the pastimes of Krishna. Think of the pastimes of Krishna. So that's desired. That's desired, that when we hear the holy name, we think of the form and qualities and pastimes as well. But it shouldn't be a separate endeavor that distracts us from hearing.